All right, I'm going to shift gears to from adoption ceremony to a short sermonette on unity. And if you have your Bibles with you, John 17, I'll get there in just a minute. But this sermon, 4 points, practical unity requires motivation, requires clarity, requires commitment, and requires grace. Motivation, clarity, commitment, grace. Say it with me. Motivation, clarity, commitment, grace. One more time, because repetition is the mother of memory. Motivation, clarity, commitment, grace. Jesus prayed for our unity. How unified do you see the church? My guess is that you've seen little glimpses of it. And when you see little glimpses of unity, you see why Jesus said, "They will know you are my disciples by how you love each other." They will know that you are my disciples by how you love each other. When you see little glimpses of unity, you're like, wow, that's beautiful, and that's the way it should be. It's like a parent. When you see your kids loving each other, you're like, that's what it's supposed to look like. That's what a family is supposed to look like. So, you know, those 5 minutes. When I was growing up, when my older brother Matt and my younger brother Kevin and I got along, they're like, that's exactly what we trained you for. But similar to, you know, a standard family where there's a lot of squabbles, the church today has, I would say, an appalling lack of unity. Do you know why? Because we're sinners. You know also why? Because your leaders don't understand unity, and they don't model it for you. Not talking about the elders that were behind me. I'm saying evangelicalism as a whole, the leaders model it so poorly that the people in the pews just imitate their leaders. You know, early church stuff, most early splits are about the Trinitarian nature of God. In the Middle Ages, it's often about just the absolute corruption of the church. In my lifetime, it's often been about politics and social issues. But often it is about just the ordinary stuff of ministry where there's just you have little disagreements that turn into big disagreements. And because we don't know how to walk through it, it becomes something that divides and hurts. The founder of Soma, his name is Jeff Vanderstelt. Jeff taught me how to make disciples in community. The reason I stand in front of you today, I would say even the reason why my church plant outside of Seattle, Washington was successful was because Jeff taught me how to make disciples in community. We were often on the phone together. I would call him. I would complain. I would gripe. I would ask for help. And we worked together wonderfully for a while. And then problems came up. You know, my expectations for him were high. You know, he's the leader of a successful church. He's the leader of this tiny network that I just joined. So I had high expectations for him. I don't know if you've ever had high expectations for a Christian leader that they weren't able to meet. It actually happens all the time. But I had high expectations for him that he did not meet. And I did things that, well, he had expectations for me that I didn't meet. And we had little things. I mean, when I think about this difficulty with Jeff, sometimes I look back on it, and I frankly just feel, it just feels petty. Just a long series of small things that we didn't know how to talk through. to the point where I was considering, and I told my elder board, I said, I think we're going to leave Soma. And they said, well, why don't you try one more time? So I called him again. Could we meet? I don't have time. I said, well, I really think we should meet. So we met, and I can picture the restaurant in Tacoma, Washington, walked in the front door, and it felt like it was like a 40-yard walk, but it probably was only 10 feet from that door to where he was sitting at the table. He looked uncomfortable. I always look uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. I sit down, and usually in those uncomfortable situations, they just go right at it. So I say, Jeff, why did it take so long for us to meet and talk this through? And he said, because I was convinced that you were going to leave. And I just can't handle another person leaving. And then we just talked it through. We talked through the things that he did wrong to hurt me, and I talked through and I apologized for the things that I did wrong that hurt him. And it was a long list. And we got done with that list, and we hugged it out. A long, uncomfortable hug. And now what's beautiful about it is that Jeff and I know that if something comes up, that we can talk through it. You guys who are married understand that, right? That you have problems. If you can actually talk them through, and sometimes you need intervention. Sometimes you need a counselor or a mediator. But if you're able to actually talk through it, you realize that the relationship has strength. And brothers and sisters, what I'm just telling you, this slightly embarrassing story about the founder of Soma and I, is I want you to know that Jesus prayed for our unity. I mean, what better motivation could we want than Jesus praying for our unity? Isn't that a strange thought to think? And hear me out on this, that we could answer one of Jesus' prayers. He prayed that you and I would be one like the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. John 17, verse 9. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so they will be united just as we are. Extraordinary. What a motivation for unity that Jesus prayed that we would be one. There have been some beautiful periods in church history where the church worked together. And then there's been the rest of it. I don't know if you saw this, but recently they excavated the church that held the Council of Nicaea. Council of Nicaea is perhaps the most important church unity meeting ever. St. Nicholas was there. Early church was there, arguing about the Trinitarian nature of God, arguing or trying to unite around who Jesus was. And when they excavated this recently, because it's been underwater, the Greek Orthodox priest stood around it and said mournfully, when this building stood, the church was one. Practical unity also requires clarity. If you want to be united, not only do you need to be motivated by thinking to yourself, wow, Jesus prayed for this, but you also need to be clear. You need to understand your doctrinal statement. You have a doctrinal statement. I've seen it. It's on your website. You should know it. Hopefully this is not coming across as a drive-by shaming. It's just me telling you, know your doctrinal statement. Know what you believe. Know what's important about your faith so you can let the rest of it go. And I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying for the church to be united, we have to focus on what is absolutely central to the faith, so that all of our other interpretations and opinions, we can just leave them there as interpretations and opinions. This is really hard work. This is really hard work. But when our church in Bucharest, Romania, I was there last year, and we're walking around looking at all these Greek Orthodox churches, and we're talking about what it was like to live under the communist Ceausescu's reign, and they're talking about that the Greek Orthodox used to ruthlessly persecute the evangelical church. They used to work to get them so they couldn't get building permits, so they had a hard time meeting. They would tell people bad things and lies about the evangelical community. Said, but something happened, and it's like they revisited Nicaea, and they got very firm on what they believe, and they began to investigate what the evangelicals believe, and frankly, it's not that far off, and they began to then encourage people who didn't connect with the Greek Orthodox approach to doing church, and they encouraged them to go and to meet with the evangelicals, and they began to support the evangelicals and help the evangelicals, and you see moments like that, and you say, this is what the church is supposed to act like. But it requires clarity on what we believe is central and what we know is secondary, and we also, I think, begin to have a clarity of what it looks like for us to talk about issues that we disagree on. I don't know if you have friends and loved ones that know how to disagree well. That feels like a rare skill set in our political tribal age. But I encourage Piedmont Church to be a church that knows how to disagree well. To be able to have opposing political views, because you know that your real king is named Jesus. And that you guys have a wide variety of opinions on all sorts of social matters, but you have the same king who prayed for your unity. It takes motivation, it takes clarity, it also takes commitment. It takes a shared mission. Paul had a huge team. When you think about Paul planting churches, don't think about Paul planting churches. Think about Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Titus and Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila and Ananias and Tychicus. He's got dozens on the teams, and they're coming from different churches to join his team, and they're planting churches together, and they're supporting churches together. Mission is us doing things together. We need each other. God does not put all of the skills in one person, does not put all of the gifts in one missional community, does not put all the gifts in one church. He gives all the gifts to the church. And it takes commitment together for a shared mission. Have you ever talked to a politician, to a mayor, to a congressperson or a senator about when churches begin to work together, how it just grabs their attention? Our Soma churches in California, you probably read on occasion that there are fires in California. One of the fires that ripped through Northern California was miles from some of our Soma churches. The leader of one of our Soma churches went to the mayor and said, what do you need? The mayor said, well, right now our most pressing need is housing for all of these people who had to evacuate, whose homes are completely wiped off the face of the earth. There's not enough hotels. There's not enough space. The pastor then called every evangelical pastor he knew. How many can you handle? How many people can you house? He then came back to the mayor and said, you needed this many hundred spaces for people. We can house them all. The mayor said, what? How did you do that? And he said, well, I just called every church. And we all took as many as we could. That gets their attention. That is what Jesus prayed. When Jesus said, "They will know you are my disciples by how you love each other," I think that includes working together. That is not easy to do. There is a lot of clarity that has to be talked through. There's a lot of grace that has to be given. But that is the unity that God calls us to. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, hard thing that's worth giving our lives to. Motivation, clarity, commitment, and then grace. We need grace. You know what grace means? It means getting better treatment than you deserve. You know, mercy is not getting punished when you deserve getting punished. And grace is just getting better treatment than you deserve. In order to be unified, we have got to give each other better than we deserve. Amen? I mean, you guys should have, know that I take my responsibility of helping to lead Soma very seriously. But I also am going to ask you for grace. I'm going to ask you to keep your expectations of me at the right spot. Lowered expectations are the key to happiness. Amen. With each other. That should have been in our vows. Dear. Grace. Forgiveness. Does anyone else feel like we've missed this in Christianity? That we just don't understand how to forgive? Think about all the broken relationships that you know of in the church. It's because we give each other what we deserve. You hurt me, I don't trust you anymore. And please don't take me the wrong way. I'm not going to gloss over abuse. I'm not going to gloss over abusive people that frankly need some constant supervision so they don't keep hurting people. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we hurt each other, that Jesus says, forgive. And we forgive because they have been given Jesus' righteousness. And we have got to learn what it looks like to extend each other grace. Otherwise, our unity is always going to be fragile. I think I've used up most of my time. I'll just end with some implications. Encourage you guys to pray and reach out to others in other Soma churches. WeAreSoma.com. WeAreSoma.com. It's a website. You can see every Soma church. Well, most of them. The secret ones we don't put on there. I mean, there's some people that are serving in areas where it's just not legal. But as you see these churches pray, you might, some Soma people purposely take vacations in cities where there's Soma churches so they can stop by on Sunday and visit. It's a beautiful thing. There's churches in Charleston and Dallas-Fort Worth and Seattle and Tokyo. Our church in Tokyo, we'll send out a Soma email this week that talks about an English camp in Tokyo. They're asking Americans if they'd like to come to Tokyo and teach people English as part of their camp. It's a way they serve their community. It's how they live out their servant identity. I'll also encourage you, as far as implications of this, to reach out when you are stuck. If you guys feel like you're having a hard time as a church, just ask for help. Encourage you to reach out when you are in crisis. And I'll just ask you to do that sooner rather than later. Encourage you to submit to reconciliation. There might be a time when you have a serious disagreement with one of your staff or one of your leaders, and sometimes those are really difficult to work through. And I will just encourage you to, sometimes it requires that two churches or a church and a leader submit to another leader from outside so that there actually can be reconciliation. And I'll just ask this question. Do you know the difference between lifelong friends and people that we used to know? Forgiveness. I encourage you to be a church of lifelong friends. Soma invites you into that kind of relationship, that kind of motivation, that kind of clarity, that kind of shared mission invites you into unity. Can I pray for you?